Heaven or hell, what do you think? Last week, again, we spoke on hell. Two destinations that the Bible speaks of that someday we will experience. One of those. Last week it was hell. We talked about the reality of hell. It's a real, real place. Today we're going to speak about heaven. And we're going to talk about the reality of heaven. Do you believe heaven's a real place? Just made up? Fictitious? No. Bible is very plain. Heaven, it's the ultimate happy place. Forget where you're living. I don't care how happy your life is. I don't care how perfect your life is. Anybody here living that perfect, happy life? Or do you desire more? Okay? You want more? Okay, then heaven's going to be that place. Later today, there's going to be a football game on TV, and at the end of the game, they designate a player to be the most valuable player, MVP. And I don't know if they still do this, but they used to go up to the MVP at the end of the game and say, "Now what are you going to do?" Do any of you know the answer? Say it loud. What do? They want to go to Disney World. Oh, I'm going to go to Disney World. A happy place. Anybody been to Disney World? Okay. Was it a happy place? Okay. I've been there. We've been there a couple times, right? I had a really good nap once there. There's the wax thing, the presidents, and I was there long time ago with a youth group, another sponsor, myself, chaperone, I guess. We thought, well, we'll go into this wax museum thing and watch the presentation. It was about 1:30 in the afternoon. We woke up about 3. Place was empty. What's going on? A happy place. Sometimes just sleeping is a happy place, right? Well, heaven is going to be better than anything you've ever experienced here on earth. It's going to be better than a Reese's Pieces blizzard at Dairy Queen. Right? Okay. Okay, if you like that, that'll be your dessert in heaven. When you get to heaven, that'll be what you get. That'll be on the table for you. But heaven, it's better and better and better than anything we could experience here on earth. Most of us in America believe in a place that is even better than America. For most of us in this country, when asked, "Do you believe in a place called heaven?" they will say, "Yes. Yes." So living in the United States of America, as blessed as we think we are, there is even something better than living in the United States. In John chapter 14, the passage of Scripture that is often used as a text at a funeral service, a memorial service, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus speaking. And note the letters in red. Jesus comforts his disciples. This is a word for disciples. "My Father's house has many rooms." We read it in the reading this morning. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus Christ wants you to be where He is going, where He is now. And then verse 4 is important. "You know the way to the place where I am going." Heaven. Heaven is a place for prepared people. Jesus was preparing heaven. He was preparing the disciples. But in verse 4, He says, "You know the way to the place where I am going." It's not a guessing game. He wanted His disciples to know that they know that they know that Jesus is going to prepare a place for them, and He will come back and He will get them, and He will take them to be with Him in heaven. Heaven is not for people who live their lives in disobedience to God. And I'll use the sin word, okay? Heaven is not a place for people who live in sin. It's two opposites. That's hell. That's last week's message. People who live their life in sin will not take their last breath on earth and then wake up in heaven. You're not going to find that in Scripture. And Scripture is the book that we use to get the facts about heaven and hell. That just isn't going to happen. You're not going to live a life of obedience to Scripture, disobedience to God or Heavenly Father, and then take your last breath here on earth and then, boom, wake up in heaven. Some people believe that. We don't. We believe that the Bible teaches us totally opposite of that. Jesus said that we have to trust God, trust Him. And again, I'll say heaven is a place for prepared people. We live this life preparing to go to heaven and to live there with Jesus, God our Heavenly Father, experiencing the Holy Spirit forever. Heaven is a place that Jesus is going to prepare only for those who trust in Him, those who believe in Him. The book of Revelation gives us a great word picture. If you like to read about heaven, and it's a great, great word study, here's some passages of Scripture that you can write down. And this afternoon, your spare time, just look these up and daydream if you want. About what heaven is going to be like. Revelation chapter 21 says it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So are we going to end up on Saturn? A new heaven, a new earth? We don't know. We just can believe what Scripture says. It's going to be new. It's going to be new and improved. Different. A new heaven, a new earth. Revelation chapter 21, continuing verses 3 through 8. There will be new people there. Oh, that would be us rejoicing, new people. You're going to be somebody different. You're new, perfect in heaven. Revelation 9:27. There will be a new Jerusalem, a new capital, a new place to worship God, a new city, God's city. He'll be there. Revelation 22:1-5. A new paradise. Where's your paradise today? Where's your paradise today? If you had to pick a place where you would go, and this is paradise, where would you go? Where would you be? Just think about that. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, tells us it's a new spot, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And you're going to love it forever. You'll never grow tired of it. You'll love it forever. Imagine all of that. Go ahead, make yourself crazy, drive yourself crazy, just trying to get your brain, your mind around all that the Scriptures tell us about heaven. And then think about what Paul said. He said that God, our Heavenly Father, will do for us more than we can think or imagine. Wow, I can imagine a whole lot. When it comes to heaven, my mind just goes, whew, I can think a whole lot. But yet then I read Paul, and Paul says, well, whatever you think heaven's going to be, it's going to be better than that. It's going to be better than that. Using our imagination, we ask lots of questions about heaven. You ever get in a dialogue with somebody, and you're talking about heaven? About heaven? Well, our questions, I will say to you that God cares about your questions. God cares about your questions. Will we know each other in heaven? Okay. You had somebody ask that of you? Will we know each other in heaven? Well, look up 1 Corinthians 13. Paul, this is the love chapter, he says face to face. Face to face we will know God. God will know us face to face. We will know God. We will know Jesus Christ. We know that. Will we be married in heaven? For those of us that are married here on earth, but the answer to that is in Luke chapter 20. And some of us would say, yes, I want to be married in heaven. And some of us would say, well, maybe you, I don't know, not me, but they would say, well, I hope not. Okay? All right? Do you want to be married in heaven? Yeah. All right, it'll be a perfect marriage if you are, but Jesus says no. He says in heaven there will be no giving and taking of marriage. So, Will I be known as Tony Freeberg in heaven? Luke 16:28 answers that question. If you have that as a question about heaven, look it up. There's a rich Jesus in this passage. There's the rich man who's in hell, and he looks up, and there's the beggar who's in heaven, and the rich guy in hell says to Abraham, "Hey, would you send the beggar? Would you just have him go warn my family? Go talk to my family." And so, will we be known? Well, we can debate that, but that's a passage of Scripture that might help you come to a conclusion on that one. 1 Corinthians 15, will I have a new body? Well, I sure hope so. Okay? All right? I sure hope so. I've got my order put in already for what I want. But 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it's going to be immortal. It's going to be perfect. Now, we live in a world where we pay a lot of attention to people with what we perceive to be perfect physical specimens, sort of like Jeremy, okay? All right? You know. I think heaven's going to be better than that. I think that perfect body, again, we can't even begin to imagine. We think about it in the context of what we know and feel and sense here on earth. But in heaven, we're going to have this perfect, perfect body. What will I do 1 minute after I get to heaven? Cynthia says she's going to look for me. And that's a good thing. But that means she thinks I'm going to go first. So that's also good. But let me just say this to you. The questions that we have about heaven, those are all good questions. Good questions. But in the reality of heaven, those questions are very, very, very insignificant. Very insignificant. Oh, we can talk about it. We can debate that. We can dialogue about that. And we can have fun with that from time to time. But I will say that these questions that Scripture kind of teases us with answers to that, but they're really insignificant to the totality of the reality of heaven. One thing that we do know is that heaven is a beautiful, perfect place. Again, your paradise. The Scripture tells us that it's a new paradise. But Revelation chapter 21 paints that picture for us. It's a new place. John tells us Jesus' words that we just read in John chapter 14, that it's a perfect house. If Jesus is building something for you, it's going to be perfect, right? Do you like big windows? Cynthia likes big windows. She likes windows. Our house has lots of windows. You like big windows? Guess what? Jesus is going to give you big windows. Maybe you don't like big windows. Maybe you like the little smaller profile windows, just a little bit of light, not too much. You know, don't want the neighbors looking in. You know, don't want our dog looking out, those kinds of things. But I think Jesus knows what you want. He's going to build it the way you want it, right? Reality, heaven. Do you like color in your house or do you like white? What do you like? If Jesus is building you a perfect spot, He's going to do it the way you like it. If you like color, boy, He's going to have colors there that you've never seen before. You're just going to go, wow. Do you like carpet or do you like wood? Again, these are things that we can have fun with our imagination. For many years, I was in the business of selling products to people who were building their dream home. And some of them were just amazing. One house from the door of the bedroom to the back wall of the bedroom was farther than from here to the back wall of the sanctuary. 72 feet. Just the bedroom. Not bad, huh? Not bad. You could get lost in that bedroom. Anyway, your imagination, whatever you want, God is going to build it for you. He's working on it right now. It's probably already done. He's just waiting for you to get there. It's a perfect place. In the first of John's letters, he tells us that heaven is going to be a perfect life, pure. Again, no sin, nothing. It's perfect, it's pure. Revelation 19:9 tells us that we're going to have perfect fellowship in heaven. You're going to want to be at the table having fellowship with Jesus. You're going to want to sit at the table eating that large blizzard from Dairy Queen and sitting next to somebody and having fellowship. Imagine that. Imagine that. You're going to have perfect fellowship. What's perfect fellowship? Well, I believe perfect fellowship would be looking to God or Heavenly Father and just being in awe of what He has done, what He has provided for us. Heaven will be a place of rewards. Luke chapter 6, verses 22-23, talk to us about heaven being a place of rewards. And I've looked up some scripture and I've looked at a few videos and things about this. This is really interesting, this rewards. Do you know that in heaven there's a crown of life? James chapter 1, verse 12 speaks of this crown of life. You're going to get to heaven and you're going to get a crown of life. That's for enduring the trials of this world. Anybody here had a little trial in life? You've had a little broken foot? When are you going to get rid of that crutch? Okay? We all have that, right? You have a test, or you have a trial. Cancer, diabetes, whatever it is, life, relationships, upside down world. You endure that following Christ. And when you get to heaven, you're going to get a crown of life. It's going to be a crown placed on your head. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 speaks of a crown of righteousness. Righteousness, right living, given to you by Jesus Christ. You can live a righteous life here in this life only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get to heaven, He's going to place on your head the crown of righteousness. You've made it. You've been obedient to His word. And He's going to reward you for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, there's a crown... an eternal crown, everlasting. You like something that's lasting forever? In this world, we often get tired of something. You know, you have it for a while, and then you let's do something different. It just, you know, go back to your childhood days. You get a gift for Christmas that you wanted. You probably begged for it, and 3 days later, it's in the corner, and you're just like, eh. Well, you're going to get a crown, an eternal crown. And it'll be reward if you read the 1 Corinthians 9:25 for enduring those things that you've endured here on earth. It's a self-discipline crown. You've been diligent in your prayer life. You've been diligent in reading Scripture. You've been diligent in the fellowship of the body of Jesus Christ. And you will receive this eternal crown. The fourth crown, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:19, is a crown of rejoicing. It's a crown that you will receive when you share Jesus Christ with somebody and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the greatest rejoicing that can happen here on earth. I love singing. I love singing. I love music. God speaks to me through that. But nothing speaks to me, nothing. There's no rejoicing in my heart more than knowing that somebody has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's just the ultimate. And that's for us, the believers, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ here on earth. We will receive this crown. It's a crown of ultimate rejoicing when we look around heaven and somebody will say, "Hey, I'm here because of," and they look at you. 1 Peter chapter 5, it's a crown of glory. A crown of glory. Feeding the flock. You disciple somebody, you share the gospel message, yes, you have a Bible study with somebody. Maybe you're a teacher, you're a spiritual leader in your household, you're a spiritual leader, you're a spiritual leader outside of the realm of your home. you will receive this crown. So heaven is a place of rewards. So over the last 2 weeks, we've described hell, and today we've described heaven. Two very opposite extremes, right? Anybody want to go to hell? Okay, thank you. No hands were raised. We're good. So where do you want your spirit to go once it leaves your body? As a chaplain with the police, I will say that when I'm called out to be with a family on a death, this comes to me almost every time. As I'm looking at the deceased, I see family, they're crying. I think about that person. I wonder where they're at. I wonder where their spirit went. Where their spirit went. And you know, almost always the family wants that person to be in heaven. Oh, they're in a better place. That's great hope, trust. I hope there's a reason to have the hope and the trust. But none of us should want anybody to go to hell, right? We should all want everyone to go to heaven. So, the reality of hell, yes, the reality of heaven. And that's great. It's a great question. But a better question would be, how do I get to where I want to go? How do I get to where I want to go? It's one thing to know about heaven. It's one thing to know about hell. But it's another thing to really get there. And how then do we get there? That's the real question. You ever feel lost? You know where you want to be, but you just don't know how to get there. And in today's world, you've got GPS. If you've got a phone, you've got Google Maps. You can even have that nice woman give you instructions on how to get there. You know, in 200 feet, turn left. It's amazing. In the spiritual realm, we have God's Word to speak to us about that. Do you want to go to heaven? Well, then you better want to know how to get there. You have to. Look at this picture. This was sent to me Wednesday night after our men's Bible study here. And a friend, unnamed, his name is Chris, actually. Anyway, he sent me this picture. And he was telling me about a friend of his who was out catching fish. And if you ask a fisherman, which I had to do, I said, well, where did he catch them? And the average fisherman will say, in the lip. Okay, that's where you catch fish. You catch them in the lip. Well, that wasn't the answer that I wanted. I wanted to know, like, where? Well, on a lake. Okay, nice. Thank you. It's hard to get some good information out of fishermen. So, I had to keep dialoguing with him. Well, he told me the lake, and I went, well, that's nice. He told me the depth, and I went, well, that's nice, but that's a big lake, and there's a lot of water that's that 29 feet deep. You're going to find 29 feet deep on a lake. Anyway, so we just kept playing this game of answering, you know, a question, a little answer, a question, a little answer. Finally, he sent me a map. You're not supposed to know that that's Eagle Lake, and you're not supposed to know where that's at, but there you go. You want to go possibly catch some fish, go to Eagle Lake there. Funny little side story to this. He had told me, now, shh, keep this quiet. Shh, keep it quiet. You know, this is a secret spot. So I go to the bait place, the J&J bait place. And I know those guys, so I thought, well, I'm going to stop in there and buy some minnows. So I stop in there, and of course the guy gives me the minnows. And he says, where are you going to fish? And I said, well, Eagle Lake. He said, oh, are you going to fish that northwest corner where everybody else is? Northwest corner where everybody else is. Secret spot, right? No, it's not so secret. Everybody else was there. Everybody, word travels fast. So, how do you get to the place where you want to be? You want to be in heaven? How do you get there? None of you raised your hand when we talked about hell. And that's a good thing. But if you know anybody that wants to go to hell, Well, that's easy. They just need to refuse Jesus Christ as God's Son. They can continue to have fun. But someday there will be a terrible gift awaiting them, and it'll be hell. Now, heaven. Looking to go to heaven, John 3:16 is a good place to start. God loves you so much. You ever question whether or not God loves you? Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. God loves you so much that He wants you to be in heaven with Him, and He tells you how to get there. He's giving you directions on how to get there. No guessing game. Don't get in your car and just fill it with a tank of gas and get some sandwiches and just go out on a trip. No. God loves you so much that He's going to tell you exactly how to get to heaven. That's love. That's love. No secrets. No guessing games. He loves you so much that He wants you to know how to get there. So how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? You will not get to heaven by anything that is man-made. Don't beam me up, Scotty. You know, I'll just show up someday. No. Not by your good works. Now, good works are encouraged, commanded by us as Christians, disciples of Christ. They are secondary to accepting Christ. And yes, there should be good works in our life. But we will not get there. You will not get there if you just go out and do a bunch of good deeds. I don't care if you're a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout. Great, good for you. Hope that's been a great influencer in your life. But don't show up at heaven and point to your badges and say, "Hey, look what I did." That's not gonna work. In the mail, maybe this week, maybe Monday, Tuesday of this week, depending on how efficient your mail is, you're going to receive something. For those of you that give offerings to the church, our financial secretary makes sure that you have those forms. That so if you're filling out your taxes, you get that. Okay? Don't look at that and say that that's either a plus or a minus in you getting to heaven. All right? Don't look at the number and go, "Man, look what I did." And I know some of you just give cash. You don't care. And that's great. Don't look at that number and go, "Man, you know." Don't be offended or too proud of that number, because, again, that has nothing to do with heaven. Heaven is about being obedient to what God is asking you to do. That's the checkpoint. So, heaven. Heaven. If you want to go to heaven, here it is. And Jesus said, it's like being a little child. Have the trust and the faith of a little child. And I hope that God being a God of forgiveness, forgives us, so adding so many layers to what it takes to get to heaven. It's pretty simple. Believe the truth. Believe the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said that He's the truth. He is the truth. He's the way to heaven. He's the truth, and He's our life eternal. And no one sees the Father without believing in Him. Believe in Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Believe in Jesus Christ. Now, let me just share a few words about the word believe. I would say that in our world today, that word believe, we have just made a mess of it. We've absolutely destroyed the biblical definition of that word believe. We say that we believe in nature. Do you believe in gravity? If I let go of this, what's going to happen to it? It's going to fall. Okay? Yeah, we believe in gravity. We believe in nature. Some people believe in rock and roll. And don't you just have to go like, "Really? Rock and roll? You believe in rock and roll?" Eh.
What's that?
Some people believe in the United States of America. Well, I say that's good. I want to be a patriot, and I hope that you are too. But do I really believe in the United States of America? I'm going to have to say no, because there is going to come a day and a time where it's going to disappoint me. Because it's man-made. It's man-made. And the only thing that I can truly, truly believe in, is God. His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His Holy Spirit. It's a simple, simple definition. Believe in Jesus factually. Do you believe in Jesus factually? Historians, there's nobody really arguing that Jesus didn't exist. Okay? There are historians that have recorded back in Jesus' time that there was a man named Jesus who performed miracles, that kind of thing. Okay, so factually, we have the Bible. Believe in the Bible. That's great. If you don't believe in the Bible, go to other sources and you will come to the point of believing in Jesus factually. We don't know how tall he was. We don't know the color of his hair. We don't know how much he weighed. We don't know a lot of things about Jesus. But we know enough that you can say that you believe in Jesus Christ from a purely factual point. But you know what? That's not good enough. That's not the biblical definition of believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Christmas? Not Santa Claus version, but you believe in the biblical. Okay, again, that's a factual statement about believing in Jesus Christ, and that's good, but it's not enough. The biblical definition of the word believe in Jesus is trusting. You say that you believe in Jesus Christ. Well, then do you really trust Him? It comes down to trust. Trust. Trust is a big piece of who we are. I've had conversations just in the last week, and it comes up quite often in relationships. If you don't trust somebody, there's no relationship. Just think about it. If you don't trust somebody, there's no relationship. Well, there's a relationship, but it certainly is a damaged relationship. Trust. Trust means that I believe all the time, believe always. I trust. I believe. I believe in Cynthia. I trust her. I want her to believe in me. She trusts me. I believe. I really, really, truly believe in Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you truly, truly believe in Jesus Christ? And what He said, that He's the way, the truth, and the life. You want to get to heaven? You've got to surrender. You've got to believe totally in Jesus Christ. No, don't slice it, dice it to fit who you are, what you want to be. No, you've got to surrender and give completely to Him. Trust Him completely. Always and forever. Heaven is for anyone who believes in Jesus, using the second definition, not the first. Do you believe in Jesus? It really comes to, it's a personal question. You're going to have to answer that. And you're already answering it in the way that you're living life today. Do you believe in Jesus? It's a personal question. I'm not going to stand before God and answer for you, and you're not going to stand before God answering for me. All right? There are no character witnesses in heaven. You're building that character right now here on earth, and you're giving it to God, our Heavenly Father. Do you believe in Jesus? And God alone will be the judge of that someday. He and He alone will be the judge. Here is a true statement. God always has the last word. God always has the last word. It's interesting that this came up in a conversation just on Thursday. A friend came in the office and we were talking about life and stuff. And he made this comment to me. He said, "Do you know that God always has the last word?" And I said, "Well, yeah, if you want to come to church on Sunday, you might hear that." God always has the last word. And as His example to me, He used the Israelite story from Exodus. You know, they wanted to get out of Egypt, and God had chosen Moses to be the representative. Pharaoh always thought he'd have the last word. Who had the last word? God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing in front of the furnace, going to be thrown in. Who thought that he had the last word? The king. You're not going to bow down to me. You're not going to worship me. Guess what? I'm going to throw you in the fire, and you're going to just be like that. Done deal. Who had the last word? God. God always has the last word. The high council, Pilate, crucified Christ. They thought they had the last word. Who had the last word? Who had the last word? Do you believe in God? What did he say to Jesus on that third day? Hey, son, why don't you come out of that tomb? Who has the last word? Always God. Always God. God always has the last word. Who are you living your life for today? Who are you living your life for today? Jesus Christ? God our Heavenly Father? Your Heavenly Father? His Holy Spirit? Do you believe in Him? Truly, truly surrendered, believing in Him. You get to choose. You get to make the decisions here on earth of how you're going to live your life. God and God alone someday will be the judge. He will have the last word about your life. He will have the last word about my life. That's one thing we all have in common. My prayer for you is that you live your life believing, personally, surrendered to Jesus Christ. It's the only way to live. If you want heaven to be your destination. If not, hell is the other. It's the other place. And I don't want any of you to go there. I want you to believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you surrendered to Him? You know, in the church world, we do a lot of things about accepting Christ. You know, back in the day, it was you had to come to the altar to pray. And that's a good place. I'm not going to say anything bad about that. Because that's a good place to come and to pray and accept Christ. Oh, and we've put it in a package in a little prayer. You know, oh God, I'm a sinner, blah, blah, blah. You know, that little prayer. And that's a good prayer. That's a prayer you should pray all the time. But it really comes down to you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you surrender to your life to Him? That's a question that you need to answer today. Because you're going to answer it someday. Why not today? Why not today? I ask you to stand this morning, and I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Who do you believe in today? Do you believe in yourself? I don't believe in myself. I believe in myself only as I trust in God to lead and guide in my life. And then I move forward in my day with boldness. On Wednesday nights, we're looking at the life of Paul in the book of Acts. Boy, what an example he is for us. Believing in God, His Heavenly Father, believing in Jesus Christ, in the good and the bad of life. Wow. Let that be me, Father. Let that be us. And Father, Your Son Jesus, when He encountered a sinner, someone that did not believe in Him, He would look at that person, He would just say, well, do you believe? He would challenge them with going and selling all they had and giving to the poor. He would say to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. Very simple, very direct. And Father, that's my prayer for us today as a congregation. There is someone here today who needs to believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, beyond the element of just a fact. They need to surrender. They need to believe. Father, let that happen in that life today. Let them breathe a prayer to you of surrender. Let us as a congregation ask the question of each other. Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? Help Don and Roger and Cynthia and Bonnie as they teach us. May they always put that question in front of us. Do you believe? Do you believe? Father, let it be seen and heard in us today that we believe in Jesus Christ. He's your Son. He's our salvation. He's our Savior. Father, we'll thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, let us share Christ today. So many easy ways to do that. But let us leave this place today and to share the love of Christ with someone. And Father, today, if we've made the step of believing in Jesus Christ in that personal, spiritual level, let us share that with someone before we leave church today. Father, we believe in you. We believe in the reality of hell. We believe in the reality of heaven. Father, let us focus on heaven and know that it is there for us when we believe in Jesus Christ. And let that be seen and heard in us today, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Go and be a blessing to someone today. Believe the truth of Scripture as you live the gift of life that God has given to you.